Welcome to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast brought to you by Proudmouth. I'm your host, Matt Halloran. Being your own loud is not new to marketing, but the mindset, strategies, and resources to help you get there are evolving faster than this industry is keeping up. It is time to find a new perspective on what works, why, and how to move your business forward. Listen as I interview guests to help you learn from them how to be your own loud. Let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Halloran. There's a really competitive landscape out there, and it's called the IMO / FMO world. And we've had a couple of different people who represent those organizations over the last 450 episodes, but we've never had our guest today on. And honestly, I was talking to Jack a little while ago, and I was like, you've been on the show. And he's, no, I haven't. And I was like, how is that possible? And it's really possible because we're building a high performance car while still driving it in a race. And so things like this happen. But anyway, so he is a virtual, this is Jack Martin. He is the virtual CMO for InsureMark. And today we're going to talk about growth framework. And before I ask Jack our first question here and really welcome him to the show, one of the most impressive things that I have seen about InsureMark as an organization, as a marketing organization, is the true integration of all of the different pieces, parts that they've been able to put together so that their advisors and agents have a complete system from prospect to client experience. And this is really interesting to me because I've actually worked with many IMOs and FMOs in the past. And when we started working with Jack and his team, Kirk and I were just absolutely floored and blown away. So anyway, Jack, I hope that's a good enough intro, brother. Welcome to the show.
Hey, that's awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And you're absolutely right. This is a super competitive arena. And I think the reason is we at InsureMark think we're in the golden age of annuities. When you look at, what are there, 4.5 million people who are going to reach age 65 and retire in some fashion this year alone, and they start to think about how do I turn all the millions I've saved into an income stream, that's huge. And I'm a boomer. I'm living this longevity thing. I've got parents who are 93 and 90. And so as I start to experience longevity firsthand, I become much more sensitive to solving the longevity risk. I've talked about it for years and tools and analyzing and so on, but it's real for baby boomers. And so this is the golden age of annuities. It really is. The product set that's available today is amazing. The technology, the changes, it's much simplified. It's much more consumer facing, much more consumer oriented. So golden age of annuities. And then I know soon you're going to be talking about the great wealth transfer, which is a whole nother reason why this is such a great time for us. And so having said all that, the number of advisors who are available to take care of all these problems is shrinking. And so we've got these great, we call them demand drivers, all right? But we don't have as much supply as we used to have. And so now the universe of advisors that you want to work with as an IMO is shrinking. And so it becomes hyper-competitive. So a few years ago, we embraced this concept of marketing that you and Kurt have grown to love.
Yeah. So I also want to make sure that everybody understands that the huge difference in this annuity space has been the availability of the products ubiquitously across the industry. And we're not going to spend any time on that, Jack, because you know what? They need to freaking call you to find out how, no matter who they are and where they're working with, how they can go ahead and do that. We'll make sure that we have your contact information. But since this is such a competitive landscape, it's not all about payouts anymore. Because I remember when I first got into the IMO space, it was just all about the payouts, right? This is about really being able to plug your advisory practice into a proven system that is based off not only great research, but great data. Where did the growth framework that you guys came up with in InsureMark, where was this born?
Yeah, this was born maybe from an InsureMark perspective, maybe 4.5, 5 years ago. From our lead advisor group perspective, it's been evolving for the last decade. And essentially, we at InsureMark believe financial advisors are hugely important. We think that financial advisors don't get all that they should out of the hard work they do. And so our point of view is that ambitious advisors should be able to simplify, manage, and grow a more successful and sustainable 21st century at business. Okay. And so that was the launch pad. How do we go about helping advisors simplify, manage, and grow more successful, more sustainable businesses, okay? And so for us, we underscore that sustainable piece. For years, it's been extremely transactional in this space. And so there's a whole cottage industry around how to get more transactions, all right? But what we've learned is that's not where the growth is. Consumers are smarter. Consumers have access to better information. If you're in a transactional situation, you're really talking about a commodity sale, tough to differentiate. And so that's why we've leveled up that conversation to talk about this growth framework. Yeah, the genesis was maybe 4.5, 5 years ago with Steve and Jeff.
Because, so we talk a lot about this on the show, is what happens in the world of annuities and insurance sales, and really with a lot of advisors, is they're talking to skeptics, they're not really talking to people who are fans, right? And you have to sell to them instead of them coming in and buying from them, which is one of the reasons why Kirk and I have been so excited about this growth framework, because you have a process to help nurture people to the point where they're actually coming in and the advisor is doing paperwork, because they already know who they are, what they do, and they like, know, and trust them. What is the beginning of all of this? Where does an advisor start? And if you don't mind, I know some of this is secret sauce, and I'm not trying to ask you to give more away than you should, but I really want our audience to understand, because a lot of them don't have an IMO-FMO relationship, how important it is to be able to have a marketing partner like you that has the system in place. So an advisor joins InsureMark, and they want to plug into this growth framework, where do they start?
It starts with a mindset change. What you described in terms of leads and closing and skeptics and that sort of thing really is what I would call the last mile. That's in the, so there are three phases to this growth framework. There's the lead to prospect to meeting to client to evangelist. Okay. So in the third phase, that's where most advisors have been focused, in turning meetings into clients. Okay. And as you say, they have devices, they have systems, they have structures that funnel in people who may or may not be interested in what the advisor is selling. And then so the advisor is measuring his closing ratio. And he says, hey, I converted 35% or 40% of my meetings to clients. Okay. In reality, if we go back to the top, we find that he's really got a 4% conversion rate. Okay. And so this is data Q4 from multiple sources. All right. Hypothetically, an advisor holds a webinar. All right. He gets 100 people signed up to attend the webinar. All right. Out of that, he gets maybe 50 who show up. Out of that, he gets appointments with maybe half of that. And out of that, then he maybe gets appointment. He's able to sell a quarter of that. By the time you winnow down all of those numbers, he's got 4 clients when he started with 100 leads. All right. That's a 4% conversion rate. Firms that have embraced the growth framework are experiencing 30 to 70% conversion rate. Okay. So it starts at we used to think of it in terms of a funnel. I think the funnel's probably upside down. I think you got to push people through the funnel as opposed to let people fall through the funnel. But it starts in the lead to prospect phase. Most of our advisors have lots of different systems. It might be Facebook ads. It might be mail. It might be blogs. It might be podcasting, social media, all the rest, okay? At the end of the day, they're creating some awareness of themselves for their target audience, okay? And so target audience, that's some of the heavy lifting that advisors don't like to do, and that's part of the mindset change. You've got to start to think about, who is it that you want to talk to? Or the way Dan Sullivan says it, he says, who do you want to be a hero to? Okay? And that's where we start. Who do you want to be a hero to? And once you understand that, then you're able to say, all right, so if you've got a problem, if you're interested in Roth conversions or other concerns, I'm interested in health managing long-term healthcare. I'm interested in legacy. I'm interested in making sure that my kids make good financial decisions. I'm worried about market volatility, all these different concerns that clients have. If you've got a way for clients to see that you share that concern with them, that you have the expertise, that you have the motivation and the desire to help them solve that concern, that's what's happening at that lead to prospect phase, okay? That's where, for example, we're big believers in website. We've got great partners there that optimize it for SEO. If you've got a website that's not optimized for SEO, that's got widgets that can go on there, that can let visitors easily opt in, that can drive them to your blog post, that can invite them into your webinars. If you don't have that kind of an engine in place, you're leaving a lot of meat on the bone. It's interesting. advisors have been seduced into social media, and social media is great. We're big believers in it. There's a place for it. But lead growth from SEO is 1,000% greater than from social media.
You also own the audience, right? So Kirk and I have been talking a lot about this too. You're renting the audiences on social. When you're driving people to that engine that you've created with an SEO optimized or really just a really fully functioning website, you own that audience.
Exactly. And if you have content that says to a consumer, hey, we help people who are near or in retirement deal with long-term healthcare issues or with market volatility or with producing longevity income. If you can communicate that you're available to help them talk about that problem, that you want to listen to them, that's where you go from awareness to attraction. And that's really the process in the lead to prospect phase of the growth framework.
So big mindset shift. And I think that a lot of people who've been existing in the space are really old school advisors, and the younger advisors who actually have that very narrowly focused mindset shift that they need to have at really knowing who they're going to be that hero to. Once that light switch turns on and they have this epiphany that this is the way I'm going to grow, what happens next?
Now we've got to nurture them through the process, right? We want them to ultimately become big evangelists for us, right? And so there are a couple of stops in between. So consumers don't care about your story until they know that you care about their story, okay? And it's in the overlap of those two that the magic happens, okay? So the challenge at the lead to prospect and then prospect to meeting phase is for you to be able to demonstrate to the consumer that you care about their story. I don't ever remember going into a doctor and interviewing him for his education or his credentials or how long he'd been in practice or anything like that, okay? Typically, we were referred in by other people that we respect, all right? He said he would do some diagnostics on you and then say, here's what I think you ought to do, okay? So that's what's happening in the prospect to meeting phase. We're engaging the prospect, okay? And so to engage someone doesn't mean to spray and pray. All right. It means to communicate with someone in a very personal way. And so the challenge there is to leverage the data you get. So when they opt in on your website and they become a prospect instead of a lead, they're going to give you a little bit of information. All right. As you start to nurture them along, you're going to get more information about them. All of that information needs to be in what's called a CRM. I know a lot of advisors struggle with this, but thankfully, there's been a lot of innovation in the CRM space. I think, I know, Matt, you know this, but there's this thing called the NPS, right? Net Promoter Score, and people hang their hat on, my Net Promoter Score is 15 million or whatever the number is. The Net Promoter Score for CRMs last year was negative 46. Okay, so we get that CRM sucks, all right? So at InsureMark, we have what we call Hubbard, which is our extension of Salesforce that we make available to our advisors. It's a portal, so there's lots of content there, but it's also an extension of Salesforce. We call it Salesforce Lite, very simple way, an on-ramp into using CRM. We have partnerships with other folks as you grow and your needs mature, where you can get more financial advisor-specific sort of CRM assistance. This prospect to meeting, all right, getting the client to a meeting, all right, also encompasses what we call sales enablement. So someone fills out a form on your website, that doesn't mean that they're going to click your calendar link and book a meeting.
Come on. Are you serious, dude?
Yeah, I'm serious. There's a nurturing process. That's called sales enablement. And there's also communication that's got to be going on. You've got to be showing them that you care about their story. And so that's an automated digital marketing opportunity. Okay. So the tools in this prospect to meeting stage are CRM, sales enablement, automated digital marketing. We have all of those in spades, but it's also about the people. Need to have someone who's going to do business development. That's what this is about. How do you get prospects into meetings? Is that where you wanted to go with this?
Absolutely. Oh, gee, I almost swore there. Absolutely, dude. And okay, so now we finished phase two. Phase three is where a lot of, and I've referred to this a lot on the podcast, this is where the jazz music happens, because you've set the great foundation. Everybody has practiced now, and now it is time to go on stage and make sure that everybody's playing on the same beat and the same notes and the same key. So what's phase three?
So the concept here is to create a next best step momentum. All right. So if they're coming into the meeting, this is really where discovery happens. And so discovery isn't you telling them, I'm a certified financial planner, I do holistic planning, I've been doing it for 20 years. That's not discovery. Discovery is when you get a chance to hear from the prospect what their squishy issues are. All right. Super uncomfortable for old white guys like me, okay, to talk about squishy subjects like, how do you feel about money? What keeps you awake at night? How do you feel about the sandwich generation, parents and kids, and all that? How do you talk about all of that non-financial balance sheet stuff? Okay. So there absolutely is a place to have them fill out fact finders and do that sort of thing. All right. But really, where you're going to get the greatest leverage is if you're starting to have that conversation with them and letting them be heard. That's so important. It's so simple in concept. Does my advisor hear what's on my mind, what's on my heart? And when you get to that level, now you're really making some progress. Okay. So in this stage, all right, so you as an advisor have got to be able to ask the right questions and listen. Active listening, important. I know you've done podcasts on this. It's also where a lead conversion tool comes into play. So let's say someone, and this is a perfect time here to talk about this, someone has a concern about taxes, all right? They feel like, wow, my tax bill is going up, and I'm reading and hearing on the news that tax rates are going to go up even higher at the end of next year. And hey, this is really bugging me because the amount of income I plan to receive doesn't look like it's going to be enough because it's going to get eaten up in taxes, all right? So one way to do advice engagement at this level is to be doing some tax planning. To be able to say, okay, if that's on your mind, let's just do a simple tax run through. We'll scan your 1040. It'll go up into the cloud. It'll come back and we'll have some observations about it. And let's just see where you are. Okay. So that's a great way to get people into a meeting, but it's an even better way to make them a client because no one's probably ever done that. You may say, oh, of course, everyone does. No, they don't.
No.
97% of affluent consumers, 500,000 net worth and above, expect to get tax planning from their financial advisor. You want to guess what percentage of them are actually getting it?
Dude, it's going to just hurt my heart. What is it?
22%.
Oh my gosh.
That's what consumers say. Okay. So you can say, wow, I'm not an accountant. I'm not an enrolled agent. I don't do tax returns. Hold it. Stop right there. All right. I've been a CFP for over 3 decades, all right? When I got the designation, I had a 6-module thing I had to get through, and one of those modules was tax planning, okay? So the tax planning question has been litigated. Tax planning is not preparing taxes. Tax planning is not going to cause you to get in trouble with the insurance commissioner. Tax planning is what your clients and prospects are looking for, and it's a great next best step. When you scan this and it comes back and you say, all right, so let's see what this looks like in 25 and in 26, and you start to see how the tax rates climb and how their income is going to shrink, their spendable income shrinks, it's eye-opening. And it's in that moment that we hear clients who say to their friends and family, you won't believe what my financial advisor did for me. And so now what you've created is an evangelist. So in this meeting to client, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. So the process there is discovery. You are the people power in that. The tools are lead conversion tool, advice engagement, some kind of proposal, but it's a next best step mentality. What's our next best step, Mr. Client? Where do we go next? And so that takes care of the third phase. How's that sound?
It does. It's wonderful. So I love this because, again, what you're doing is you're giving people opt in to working with you here. Oh, do you want me to do a tax assessment? Yes. 1040 up into the cloud, results come back. Okay. Wow. Nobody's ever done that for me before. Okay. Not only is that a buying signal, but that means that you're on the right track. And then you do need to have a process. And it's not one of those things where you can immediately just go ahead and go for the jugular and try to close them. It still needs to be a process. All right. So we've got two more phases left, right?
We got one phase left, but let me just, there, something else came to mind here if I can. So I mentioned earlier, as a baby boomer, I'm living this longevity thing, right? So I'm experiencing my own longevity situation, but also seeing my parents, all right? And so that's true for the gazillion of baby boomers who are out there who are sitting on $170 trillion, I think, that's going to pass to the next generation in the next 40 years. Okay, $170 trillion opportunity if you can engage with baby boomers, and we're all starting to experience longevity. At InsureMark, we have this fabulous new tool, all right? It was built by a data scientist to help start 23andMe, okay? The DNA mapping firm. Okay, so she's super brilliant. And so what they built is a tool that that advisors can use with their clients where in about 4 minutes, 5 minutes, a few simple questions, someone can get their own personal longevity estimate. Okay. So we all say, okay, so I'm 65. I'm going to live to age 85. That's the average life expectancy or whatever that number is. But because of my health situation, because of my genetics, because of lifestyle, my personal longevity situation is a little bit different. So what this does is it asks those questions. It gives you an idea what to look at in terms of life expectancy. But what's really powerful is it shows you how you're going to go through different phases. So we've heard before about these go years, slow go years, no go years. This literally maps your longevity across those three phases. And then here's the kicker. It says, all right, when you start to get to the no go years, your healthcare needs are going to go up. Okay. And so you live in Texas. The cost of healthcare in Texas is X. So you're going to need X amount of money for healthcare. You're going to need X amount of money because you're going to live 5 years longer than average. Okay. You're going to need that income. So this is a fabulous engagement tool and we're getting amazing results from it. And so people want to know about longevity. They're concerned about it because we're living it. They're willing to engage to learn more. You're listening to them about their concerns. It's a discovery process where you're learning about their family, about their financial worth, their insurance situation. It creates the next best step. Wow, what do I need to do then in order to protect myself from these risks? Okay. So that kind of buttons up the meeting to client step. The final phase is client to evangelist.
And you call them evangelists, we call them fans here. And I think, Jack, people are already seeing through this incremental process how we're building this evangelism because we're solving problems that we know most advisors aren't solving. We're having questions, we're asking questions most advisors aren't, but most importantly, we're really truly listening, which is a really big downfall of advisors, which is why I'm writing a whole book on this. But it's really important because when you get them to this evangelist stage, everything changes for the long-term growth of your practice. Take it away.
Client to evangelist. So you're absolutely right. The key here is that you've given the client the opportunity to be heard and you've listened to what they have to say. And you've demonstrated that there are things you can potentially do to help them solve these problems, to prepare for these situations. You're doing all that good work that financial advisors do. And so now it becomes a process of continuing that in terms of your review process, your annual review process, your quarterly review, whatever frequency. Oh, and by the way, this is where personalization is extremely important, okay? Don't, after doing all this good work to understand the individual client, then dump them into a big pot where you send everybody the invitation to my annual client barbecue. You send everybody my templated client newsletter every month. Don't do that, okay? Because you lose all the value that you created. This is where your client experience really is critical. This is where you've got to be super personalized. You've got to be data-driven in the way you interact with clients. Okay, so here's what's happening in their lives. There are milestones. Okay. From a financial advisor perspective, you think of 59 and a half. That's when I can start taking money out of IRAs. You think of age 73, that's RMDs. You start thinking of those milestones. There are other milestones. Like when their kids reach a certain age in certain states, they have to do documentation so that they can get a job. So that they can, you don't want them to work summers at McDonald's, but hypothetically, in order to do that in these states, they've got to fill out some forms. So there are these milestones. There are these events in their lives like, wow, we had our first grandbaby. And then there are reviews that you want to do. And let the client tell you where they want to meet with you, whether it's virtual or in person, when they want to meet with you, and how frequently they want to meet with you. Make sure that you are continuing to ask them questions about what's on their mind, what's on their heart, what's concerning them, what keeps them awake at night. Make sure you continue to ask those questions, because those will not only create additional opportunities for you from a relationship perspective, but it also is going to deepen the relationship you have with that client. So yes, there's a role for automated client communication. Probably you can do 60 to 70% of the lift with automated digital. Okay. But still, you need to have built into this process good customer experience, good touch points that you're delivering, whether it's things to read, things to do, things to smell, things to eat, things to drink, things to experience. So that's when you get to that point where, like I said earlier, wow, you won't believe what my advisor did for me. And that's when we call them evangelists, because they're telling other people, they're converting other people for you.
So Jack, I can't believe that I haven't had you on the podcast before, because this is the reason why I really wanted you here. I wanted advisors to understand that there truly is assistance out there to help them navigate through this, never knowing who you are, all the way to servicing them to the point where they become evangelists. I'm sure that there's going to be more and more people who want to reach out and find out more about you and InsureMark. Where should they go and what should they do?
Sure. Surf to insuremark.net. We got great content there that explains who we are, what we do, who we work with. We've also got huge library of podcasts, and that's a great resource for our advisors. A great library of blog posts that'll help educate them. You can get a feel for what we're about. We're big believers in education. We're big believers in financial advisors, and that we've got lots of resources to help you build that successful, sustainable business.
Jack, I want to thank you very much for being so patient with me and finally getting you on the show. Listen, everybody, this isn't meant to necessarily, I'm going to sound like it's a big commercial for InsureMark, so just bear with me here. We have experience with so many advisors who are so frustrated that they're trying to put all of these disparate things together to make them work seamlessly in their firm. That is a very difficult thing. And when you can lean on an organization who has spent the time and the substantial resources, not just researching, but also integrating these things together, it can make a huge difference in your practice this year and years to come. Remember, I've said this on this podcast so many times, 80% of the American public want an annuity when they are told about the benefits, but then when you use the word annuity, it goes down to about 20%. So if you have a great sales process to truly talk to them about how they can get income in retirement and protect themselves against things like longevity risk, this is the key. And no matter if you're an RIA, you're with a BD, or wherever you are right now, you are able to sell these products. So for Jack and everybody at InsureMark, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Proudmouth. If you want to know more about how you can be your own loud, visit us at proudmouth.com and sign up for the Pod Rocket Academy. Through courses and office hours led by professional podcast producers and digital marketers, you will learn everything you need to know to become the trusted subject matter expert you were meant to be.